Shalom Mishpacha, Shalom family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to so yield to God that He would really be Lord in your body, in your life, in your family, in your home, in your congregation, in our nation. And I have Dr. Michael Brown, because the devil's making an end run, and he's trying to put in what is called the hyper grace message. It's pervasive in the church today. And Mike, you know, there are many people that are saying God is always in a good mood. What Bible are they reading?
Yeah, and you know, I have a whole chapter in my Hyper Grace book that asks that question, is God always in a good mood? So first, there are friends of mine, ministry colleagues, folks I love, I honor and respect, that use this phrase, God is always in a good mood. What they mean by it is He's not moody. It's not like, oh, guy, I crossed him today. He's not. Stay away from Dad. He's hungover. He got drunk last night. Oh, Mom's not in a good mood. She's touchy. No, God's not like that. God's disposition towards us is always He wants to bless. He's always long-suffering. He's always kind-hearted. He's not fickle in His love. In that sense, they want people who think, oh, no, there's a thunderstorm. God's mad at me. Oh, no, He's an ogre today. He's nice tomorrow. So, some people project images of their bad, drunken, earthly father back on God. And they want to deliver them from that and let them know, you want to know God's disposition, look at Jesus. There's wonderful truth to it. But like so much of the hyper grace message, it's part of the truth, and it leaves out other extremely important truths. So was God in a good mood in Genesis 6 when His heart was so grieved at human sin that He had to wipe out the earth? Was He laughing and high-fiving it with the angels when He wiped out every human being on the planet? Was Jesus, who is the image of the Father, in a good mood when He wept over Jerusalem because of the coming destruction? Will He be in a good mood when He comes back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God? Ephesians 4 tells us not to grieve the Spirit. Isaiah 63 talks about grieving the Spirit. Is God in a good mood when we grieve Him? Hey, here's a question. If we don't understand God's grace and are constantly under bondage and thinking we have to work harder to please God, is God in a good mood about that? Basilius Schlink, who was a godly Christian leader in Nazi Germany, stood up against the Nazis and was one of the greatest lovers of Israel in modern times in the church. She said, anyone who loves as much as God does must suffer, must feel pain. How can you be a loving father and see the pain and the suffering of the human race and not be hurt, not be grieved over it? So on the one hand, in the presence of God is fullness of joy. In His presence is joy, and that joy is our strength. There's rejoicing every time a sinner repents. So on the one hand, in God's presence, it must be the most exquisite joy imaginable. At the same time, God is multidimensional. Throughout the Scriptures, He speaks of grieving, of His heart being in pain. Jesus is a man acquainted with grief and pain and carried the burden of human sickness and sin. So it's a distorted message, as if no matter what happens, here, a beloved pastor gets seduced by sin and commits adultery and brings terrible reproach to the name of the Lord, and believers backslide over this because they're so shattered by what the man of God did that they look to. They lose faith in Jesus. Is God in a good mood over that? Ha ha! Check that out. He just defiled the name of Jesus and destroyed the church and hurt my reputation before the whole world. I'm in a good mood. There's something very superficial the way it's presented. That concerns me. Is He loving and kind and merciful? And is He good all the time good? Yes. Is He always in a good mood? That's a distorted statement. The truth of His disposition towards us, yes. The distorted error, okay, sin. We got to expose it.
That begs a question. I have had people on my show, and I might add, I agree with them, that have shown that when the United States goes against Israel, does something pro-homosexual, does something pro-murdering the babies in the womb, that there are warning judgments that occur. Do you think they're just coincidences, or do you believe that God could do such a thing?
Oh, of course he can. Of course, I can't speak for every individual instance. God is not in a good mood over 55 million babies that have been killed in the womb in America. And judgment is the love of God. Judgment is a wake-up call. How many times in our own lives has divine chastisement been a godsend because we were making a mistake or we were getting proud or we were deviating from our calling? And God, in his love, brought that in. 1 Peter 4, judgment begins with the house of God. Hebrews 12, God disciplines every son he receives. Of course there is. And in the New Testament, we have acts of divine judgment. Jesus warning about judgment on Jerusalem. Acts 12, Herod smitten down by the angel of the Lord for sin. Revelation 2, Jesus saying to Thyatira, if you don't repent, I'm going to bring these judgments on you and your children. It's the love of God calling us to repent, and hypergrace teachers have to throw those verses out too.
Okay, I want you to explain true biblical grace.
What a subject, Sid. Here's where it starts. While we were yet sinners, Messiah died for us. We sinned, he died. We were guilty, he was punished. We rejected God, he reached out to us. We deserved eternal punishment, he accepts us as sons and daughters. Sid, I start my book with a chapter called Why I Love the Message of Grace. I end my book with a chapter on the finished work of the cross. Think of it. All the sins we ever committed, if we wrote them on a piece of paper, if we could remember every one, every thought, every deed, each of us individually would fill a stadium with the pieces of paper, right? Jesus, in his perfect righteousness, pays for every sin every one of us has ever committed. And the day that we put our trust in him and say, God, forgive me, God, wash me, at that moment, God forgets what we've done. At that moment, he says, you are my son and my daughter. Not you are in the apprentice school to become a son or daughter. Not after 5 years of hard work you enter. No, at that moment, God says to Sid Roth, you are my son. I love you. I'm pleased to do that. At that moment, he declares you righteous. At that moment, he declares you clean. At that moment, he calls you saint. Saint Sid. At that moment, and now his grace comes into our heart. It's not just something that happened. It's ongoing. Grace is not only unmerited favor. Grace is not only God's riches at Christ's expense. God's grace is his ongoing favor and help on our behalf. So here's what happens. God now, by his Spirit, comes to live inside of you, and he puts desires to please him inside of you, and he puts a sensitivity to sin inside of you. So now it becomes your nature to do the will of God. It becomes your nature to please God. And here's the thing. John 13, Jesus is with his disciples. He's going to wash their feet. Servants work. He's the master of the Lord. He's going to wash their feet. Peter says, you're never going to wash my feet. Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. So Peter, being zealous, says, then I want a bath, everything, head, toe. And Jesus says, no. The one who's been bathed doesn't need to go get bathed again. Just have his feet washed. Why? Because in the ancient world, you didn't have showers and bathtubs in your house. You didn't have running water in your house. So if you were going to bathe, you either went to the river or to the public bathhouse. You'd bathe there and then you walk home. Well, not all the roads were paved. Many places, no pavement at all. By the time you get home, your feet are dirty. Oh, no, my feet are dirty. I got to go back to the bathhouse. Oh, man, I got to go back to the altar, that church where I got saved. Oh, man, I got to get saved again. No. You are saved. You're set apart as holy. You're God's child. Unless you willfully reject him and push him away, you're his child. You're his child on a bad day, on a good day. You're his child when you're struggling. You're his child when you're overcoming. It's only if I blatantly turn my back on God, walk away from him, deny him, or refuse to repent of sin, that's the issue. So what happens as a believer, 1 John 1:7, what does it say? If we walk with him, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's ongoing in the Greek. Hang on. It says, if I walk in the light, where's their sin? Well, we're still not perfect. We hate sin. We work against sin with the Spirit. We renounce it. We never justify it. We never take it lightly. But we're not perfect. As I walk in the light, that means when I recognize it, I ask forgiveness. That means when I recognize it, I turn from it. That means when I recognize it, I don't justify it. As I walk in the light, my feet are getting clean all the time. I don't need to go back and get saved again. I don't need to go back to the bathhouse. I just need to get my feet washed. And that happens on a daily basis.
Very quickly. I believe there are many listening that need to repent, turn from their sins, and turn to this marvelous gift from God called grace for the power to overcome. Would you pray for them right now?
Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, in the name of Yeshua, for a supernatural revelation of grace, that people would be delivered from legalistic striving, that people would be delivered from fighting sin and the power of the flesh, that people would be delivered from a wrong view of you, Father, as if you're hateful and vengeful and out to get them. May there be such a revelation of forgiven, clean, righteous through the blood, that they throw off the shackles of sin, that they throw off the shackles of deception. Lord, for those who've been deceived by a hyper-grace message and are playing with sin, I pray that holy conviction, loving conviction would flood their hearts, that they'd renounce that sin and turn to you and be cleansed afresh to serve you in wholeness. Father, may grace flood the life of every listener right now in Yeshua's name.
And may you get this defining book called Hyper Grace, Exposing the Dangers of the Modern Grace Message, because this book you will need for yourself and family members and friends. We're the only ones that have it right now. It'll be in the bookstores shortly, available for a gift of $25 and a bonus of Mike speaking on pure, true grace on a CD. The Lord is blessing you right now. The Lord, He's keeping you right now. The Lord, He's smiling upon you right now. The Lord, He's gifting you right now. The Lord is surrounding you with His grace, His favor right now. The Lord is giving you His shalom, His completeness in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body right now. In the name that is above cancer, pain, diabetes, every disease, Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness.
Yivarech Echa Adonai Ve'yishmarecha Yo'er Adonai Paneh Ve'lecha V'chunecha Yisar Adonai Panav Elecha Ve'asem Lecha
To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222 Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.